from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Thursday, April 23rd, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Mecklenburg County Commissioners Tuesday night unanimously passed a resolution against a proposal from the General Assembly to cap the amount of property taxes that North Carolina counties and municipalities could raise. Steve Harrison has this report.
Some Republicans say local governments are taxing residents more than necessary, even after accounting for inflation and population growth. They are considering a constitutional amendment limiting how much counties and municipalities could raise from property taxes. Mecklenburg commissioners oppose the proposal. Their resolution said it, quote, may reduce local flexibility and undermine fiscal stability. Commissioner George Dunlap said Mecklenburg County spends nearly $500 million annually on Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. He said that should be the state's responsibility.
That's where people are going to get it wrong if they vote for this cap, thinking that they're going to get a reduction. They'd get that reduction if the state funded the system.
North Carolina could vote on the cap in November. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
North Carolina lawmakers have reached a deal to fund Medicaid through the end of June. The proposal passed the State House and Senate Wednesday with only two Democrats voting against. Lawmakers agreed to provide the full $319 million requested by the Department of Health and Human Services, but did not include funding for a new children's hospital system that had been part of earlier negotiations. Governor Josh Stein has not said if he'll sign the bill. Lawmakers still have not passed a full state budget for the current fiscal year. The town of Mooresville is appealing a judge's ruling that it release video of Mayor Chris Carney, who was reportedly shown pantsless at town hall. WBTV reports the appeal was filed yesterday afternoon, the deadline Judge Richard Gottlieb had given for the town to either hand over the video or submit it to the court and request redactions. All six Republican candidates for South Carolina governor were on hand at the College of Charleston Tuesday night for the second of three scheduled debates ahead of the June primary. Current Lieutenant Governor Pam Evatt skipped the first debate. On Tuesday, she was asked about a state Senate bill that would replace the current six-week abortion ban with a near-total ban from the moment of conception.
If a bill like that showed up on my desk, I would veto it as your next governor. I think that has gone... I am very happy with the heartbeat bill, and that is a road that has gone a little too far.
Isle of Palms millionaire businessman Ram Reddy also skipped the first debate. On Tuesday, he responded to a question about AI data centers across South Carolina and said he's dead set against them.
These guys have no idea what they're doing. Trying to cut deals with data centers will be another boondoggle like Scout Motors, battery plants, a solar plant there in Rock Hill. All of these, it's a disaster. Don't do it.
The next debate is scheduled for May 26th at Wofford College in Spartanburg. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster says he believes money to pay for the $150 million in Scout Motors site preparation overruns will eventually be made available for the Commerce Department, despite state budget writers not including the cash in spending proposals. The Rock Hill Herald reports McMaster made the comments after touring the Scout Motors training facility, which is part of the electric vehicle automaker's $3 billion investment in the Blythewood area. Scout is also establishing a $200 million global headquarters in Charlotte's Plaza Midwood area. As North Carolina's drought approaches 8 months, local utilities are already feeling the strain. In Charlotte, voluntary water restrictions have been instated for the first time in 3 years. On Tuesday, Zachary Turner grabbed a paddle and a boat to learn what this means for local rivers.
Jen Dunn says the Henry Fork tributary of the Catawba River is nearly a foot lower than usual. She's a cleanup crew member with Catawba Riverkeeper, and she's worked extensively with the river's aquatic wildlife.
These temporary pools that they like to lay their eggs in, they're drying up at a higher rate, so you might see lower number of recruitment in your frog or salamander populations.
It's also affecting Hurricane Helene cleanup efforts. Greg Nance is cleaning up tires along the riverbed. In a single day, his canoe crew can remove a few thousand pounds of trash and debris.
We're very limited on the types of boats that we can use. During these low water days, we're restricted to only canoes.
Larger boats pick up more debris, but they can't navigate the low waters. Nance also said if the drought continues, Duke Energy will stop regular dam releases. a blow to the region's outdoor outfitters who rely on the flows to schedule trips. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Officials say a significant amount of wastewater spilled into Lake Wylie after a pipe burst near a lift station. Charlotte Water says nearly 70,000 gallons of sewage and runoff likely entered the lake near the Regency at Palisades neighborhood. The spill was reported Tuesday. The cause remains unclear. A new report finds Wells Fargo denied mortgage applications from minority borrowers at much higher rates than white applicants in Charlotte and across North Carolina. The study from Americans for Financial Reform analyzed federal lending data from 2020 to 2024. In Charlotte, the bank denied about 20% of black applicants, 23% of Latino applicants, compared to just under 8% of white borrowers. Statewide disparities were even larger. Researchers say the patterns could contribute to the racial wealth gap. The Charlotte Area Transit System is hosting a virtual feedback session tonight on the Silver Line light rail project. Specifically, CATS is focusing on plans to prioritize a 10-mile line connecting Charlotte Douglas Airport to Bojangles Coliseum. The meeting is at 6 p.m. and will be streamed on the CATS YouTube channel. Ferrara Candy Company plans a major expansion in South Carolina with promises of new jobs and manufacturing growth. Kenneth Lee has more.
The Chicago-based confectioner says it will invest $675 million to build a factory in Orangeburg County. The project is expected to create about 1,000 jobs over the next decade. The plant will sit along Highway 21 and include production, packaging, and warehouse space starting in early 2029. State officials have approved up to $85 million in bonds to support the site development and infrastructure. Ferrara makes brands including Nerds, Sweet Tarts, and Jelly Belly. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
A 3-day festival in North Carolina will pay tribute to the King of Rock and Roll. The festival will spotlight over a dozen artists who will recreate some of Elvis Presley's iconic songs and looks, as WFAE's own Elvis Meneyese reports.
16 Elvis tribute artists will participate in the Viva Las Lexington Festival. They come from places like Florida, Alabama, and South Carolina. Travis Powell is behind the festival and one of the tribute performers who became drawn to Elvis as a kid.
Elvis made people smile. He made people have fun. He made people laugh. He brought generations together.
The performers will compete to represent Lexington in Las Vegas. The upcoming festival marks the 6th annual tribute to the King, who played in Lexington in a YMCA in 1956.
So there's something really cool about that. Being in the same town that has that tie to Elvis that he visited is something that you can't really replicate anywhere else.
Elvis will perform Friday through Sunday at Edward C. Smith Civic Center on Main Street in Lexington. Elvis Meneyese, WFAE News.
Another week, another big banking jobs announcement for Charlotte. This time from the nation's largest bank by assets, JP Morgan Chase, which said it's adding 400 jobs locally over the next couple of years in its commercial and investment bank, private bank, and consumer bank. For more, Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
Charlotte seems to be on a hot streak right now, landing these banking jobs. Am I right in thinking that?
You are, Marshall. It feels like every week we're hearing about either a new-to-market company or one like JP Morgan Chase, which has been in Charlotte now for a few years. What I hear from the market, we could see even more in the future. So stay tuned, I guess.
JP Morgan Chase says these 400 jobs it's adding will be based in South Park, where it already has 600 employees. Citigroup recently opened an office in Ballantyne. Is Uptown's reign as the city's banking center over?
I don't think so, Marshall. We are hearing about Capital Group and Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corp, which, of course, they're bringing 2,000 jobs to Charlotte eventually. They're both kind of circling the Uptown market. And of course, American Express, they're putting an office in Uptown as well. But I think it's just a reflection that companies want different things. JP Morgan Chase, as like being in South Park, I think it just shows that companies are looking for different things in their space decisions. And right now, the market's really tight. In some cases, it's where you can find space.
Sticking with businesses expanding or coming to the Charlotte area, it looks like the region is getting a new Fortune 500 headquarters. Which one?
Yeah, so it's Sunbelt Rentals Holdings, which is one of the country's biggest providers of rental equipment for construction and industrial uses. We've all probably at least seen the logo either on a billboard or driving down the highway. The company has been based in London, actually, but recently reclassified its headquarters to Fort Mill in March. My colleague Tony Macia did the math on it, and it would easily have fit in the last year's Fortune 500 list. I guess you could technically say that Charlotte has another Fortune 500 headquarters in the region.
Plans are underway for Charlotte's first mass timber office building. What is that?
This has been a recent trend kind of in the building and construction industries, as a lot of building codes have been rewritten to allow taller mass timber buildings. Historically, there's been a lot of concerns about the safety and fire hazards related to wood construction, especially when you go above like 5 or 6 stories. But it's becoming a much more dominant trend, I guess, in the development industry, partly for sustainability reasons. It's certainly for cost savings compared to concrete and steel.
But it is wood. Is that safe?
A lot of the engineered wood products that are used in the building of these structures, in the event of a fire, it would char on the outside, which would kind of insulate the building. These wood products are being engineered in a way that they're a little bit more safe, and the fire is not going to spread as quickly as we might think.
Let's end on an update to a story we talked about last week. According to a Bloomberg report, the CEO of United Airlines had expressed interest in merging with American, which is Charlotte's largest carrier. American has now said it's not interested. Why?
They cited things like a combination with United would be negative for competition and for consumers. It also notably comes at a time when a bipartisan group of senators publicly expressed concern about the potential of an American-United merger, also citing concerns around competition, what impact it could have on fares, routes, and workers. The Wall Street Journal reported that earlier this week. So it seems like it's a lot of concern around competition. It doesn't seem likely that this merger will maybe happen, but some in the industry have theorized that this discussion is really a trial balloon for United, who maybe wants to merge with another carrier.
Okay, Ashley, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Marshall.
That's Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the law office of Robertson and Associates. And for Thursday, April 23rd, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.